Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
कितना कितना हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna all together.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.
The chant. Lila Shuka Prabhu has told us that this is a verse which gives hope to us, because it tells that many, many people have taken this path of Krishna consciousness and attained full success, that is, full love of Godhead. You know? In fact, in another place of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, because in the past so many have gone this path and have attained success in their spiritual endeavors, you, like the ancient, the people in the past, should follow this path as well. So, Lila Shuka Prabhu also mentioned to us that the devotees of Lord Krishna see obstacles, even suffering, as something which the Lord arranges for them on their path, so that the remaining attachments, the remaining anattas, can be taken out by this suffering, and in this way the way becomes free. And then Lila Shuka Prabhu has taught us many important points, and it will take us a lifetime to go through all of them and realize them, but we will try. So I want to talk today about one obstacle and how to overcome it. I want to talk about the obstacle of fear, being afraid. In our scriptures, the material world is distinguished from the spiritual world by this one quality. It says the material world is Kuntaloka, a place of fear, whereas the spiritual world is Vaikuntha. It is free from fear. In this way, it seems that fear is a great, great obstacle in surrendering to Krishna and giving our lives to Krishna. And I would like to give you one example from our scriptures which shows how difficult, we are in the grip of fear. It is when Krishna left Vrindavan and came to Mathura, where the cruel king Kamsa had arranged for an assassination plot. You know, he had publicly announced there will be a wrestling game and had built a wrestling arena. I remember when I was young, the city of Berlin arranged for a boxing fight between Max Schmeling and Cassius Clay, who later became known as Muhammad Ali. Yes, and it Max Schmeling was the previous world master, and Cassius Clay, who was just on his way to become the world master, had been invited by the state of Germany in the Waldbühne. Waldbühne, it was a stage in the forest which was prepared for this boxing match. It was very, very, very important boxing match, I learned later. And the whole of Germany was just fevering. Who will win? Who will win? So it was a specially prepared stage, and Kamsa had done the same. He had made a wrestling match, he has made an arena, but his plan was to kill Krishna. He had trained the best wrestlers, Chanura and Mushtika. And in the evening before the match, he told them where to hit in the soft spots. I don't know if you know, in martial arts, there's one point, if you hit it, it's here, then your opponent will die after a day. And it's known for those who know martial arts. It's a very, very cruel knowledge. So Kamsa had told his wrestlers, this is not for fun. I want to kill Krishna and I want you to kill him. You will fight with him in such a way that you will kill him. So that was in the evening. So on the morning when Krishna entered the wrestling arena, he looked so beautiful. It is described there were hundreds of thousands of people who were sitting already in the wrestling arena. It was a huge, huge stadium which had been built. And Krishna was walking inside the arena. He was holding the tusk of an elephant. The moment Krishna entered this stadium, everyone felt his brilliant effulgence, pure transcendental light just washing over the ranks in the stadium. And everyone felt so much happy to see the Lord. They had heard about Krishna from different sources, and now the Lord of their hearts marched into the arena. Just imagine this. Imagine we would be in the Olympiadic Stadium in Munich, and it would be known to us that Krishna would enter this stadium. How we would sit there. We would sit on our seats. No one would be asleep of us, and we would all look towards that door through which Krishna would come. And imagine he would come. We would see his body looking like a blue sapphire, and from his body a light coming to us, more brilliant as if thousands of suns would have risen simultaneously. And not only that, we would feel, you know, this light would not pain our eyes. Like, you know, that when there's so much bright light, you can, it's sometimes painful, you know. So No, that light, would, it's in Sanskrit described, it would be lavanya. It would be extremely sweet and full of love. We would feel love entering our hearts, and we would just be in ecstasy. And this is what happened when Lord Krishna entered with very slow movements, like an elephant in rut. When he entered the stadium, people just went, wow! They were just be glued. Their eyes were glued on Krishna. The music exploded and played very joyful ragas. And people were just, you know, alert each other. Look there, how sweet Krishna is. So naturally, their hearts were all one for Krishna. Krishna took them by storm. Only Kamsa, that king, fearful demon, jumped up and told the music, stop! He didn't want that the whole stadium would fall in love with Krishna. And he announced, now the wrestling match will start. Chanura Mushtika. And then these heavy wrestlers, who were like the sum total of all Bruce Lees, you know, killers, entered the came on that in the sand, which was arranged for the wrestling match, with only one idea: how do we quickly kill Krishna? That was the only thing. Now, in wrestling, when you do wrestling, you don't, it's forbidden to kill. There are many rules. If I would challenge now Leela Shuka Prabhu for a wrestling match, there would be certain rules, you know. We would be wrestling like gentlemen, you know. And because there are so many rules and regulations. The idea is you don't hurt the other person. You just display your muscular strengths, you know. That's the idea of a wrestling match. So, the wrestling started, and they interlocked themselves, and they wrestled. And after some time, it became clear to everyone these wrestlers were trying to kill Krishna and Balaram, because they were punching at the to the places which are forbidden to punch, and these heavy, they looked like mountains, and Krishna looked so delicate. They were really, it was really clear, it was murder, public murder, which was the intent. But no one dared to say anything, because they were all afraid of King Kamsa. What if the king sees that we object to his plan? He will have us and the family looted and thrown into prison. They were afraid. Only after some time, the women of Mathura said, this is enough, this is an impious activity. Can't everyone see they're just trying to kill Krishna? Why does no one say anything? Why does nobody speak out? In an assembly, when there is some unrighteousness done and you keep your mouth shut, then you get all the sin of the sinful activity on your head. Yeah, and they will learn it in the scriptures. They told one example when Queen Draupadi was brought to the royal assembly hall, and when there was an attempt made to strip her naked, and no one spoke out, everyone took the sinful reactions of this. When you see injustice, my dear devotees, when you see that something is not all right, you can't just stay there. Because by your staying, you are giving the consent that this is all right. I'm here. You have to either speak out, or if you are not so such a strong person, you have to leave that assembly. So the women were just saying all of this. This can't go on. But because everyone was so fearful of Krishna, of Kamsa, the demon, no one spoke up. So I want to say this. Kamsa was such a demon that people were afraid when he just lifted his eyebrow. He was so powerful. If there was something which he didn't like, he would just go and loot the person and just bring him into prison. Kamsa was really the enemy of all the saintly people, and he had them murdered. He was more than Stalin and Hitler together. He had actually even ordered that all newborn children who were born at the time where he expected Krishna to take his birth were all killed. His soldiers, he was so cruel, went through all the villages, all the towns, and looked for the newborn children, and then killed them before the eyes of their parents. How cruel, how much fear Kamsa installed into his citizens. And that's why no one was daring to side with Krishna, to express how they loved Krishna. Although Krishna, when he entered the arena, had just won their heart by his attractiveness and sweetness. Fear is a real obstacle when you want to surrender to Krishna. Then maybe I lose my job. Maybe I lose the appreciation of others. Kamsa, or fear, is ruling this world. And therefore, people are afraid to surrender. I think you must know, well, I learned this just newly. Kamsa is married to two wives, Asti and Prapti. And these two wives represent two types of very concrete fear in the life of a devotee. Thank you. I was afraid that you would all die from a lack of oxygen, but you saved us. We are in a similar situation like the Mathura Vasis, because we know we should be surrendering to Krishna. We know we should give him our all and everything. But we are still, to some degree or another, afraid of making this drastic step in our life. And the two wives of Kamsa are really representing the fears which a devotee has. You know, I think we don't have the fear any longer that what will people think, what will Kamsa think. That is already gone. We are dancing on the street, people call us crazy, and we say, Hare Krishna, no problem. Isn't it? We say, no, it is not a big problem. Isn't it? That fear we have overcome. But Kamsa is married to two wives. Asti, it means adopt what? If Krishna is not there. And Prapti is a second doubt. What? If Krishna is there, but I cannot attain him. He's too far away, and I'm too fallen. He's here, and I'm there. How I will not be successful. Leela Shuka Prabhu has told us this is a hopeful verse. I believe it for exactly 10 minutes, as long as I can remember it in the class, but then I feel hopeless again. Huh? Two types of fears are keeping a devotee from surrendering. What if I do these steps? What if I give my all and everything, and at the end there is nobody there? Everything in vain. Oh, What if I really try, Braja Jana. If I really try, but I just can't make it. I just can't attain him. This, I think, the second type of fear is more prominent. So many have not made it. Leela Shuka can make it. Yes, he is Leela Shuka Prabhu. But so many others. I am not Leela Shuka Prabhu. I am fallen person. Fear of is keeping us from surrendering to Krishna and giving our all and everything. Fear, as we heard from Leela Shuka Prabhu, is a result of attachment. When we are attached to the material universe or material things, then we will be afraid of surrendering to Krishna. We are afraid to lose. To lose. I am a, who wants to be a loser? Terrible loser on the path. I lose my sacred attachment. And then what if nothing is there? I've given up everything. Nothing is there. I'm very distressed at that time. So I would like to say something which will help us to cure us from fear. I want to, this fear of it, that we will not be successful in attaining Krishna in this life. I want to suggest a process which is given in our tradition. It's called the Buddha Shuddhi process. It's a process where a devotee systematically frees himself of material impressions in his mind, and where he consciously enters into something like a divine connection. It is my deep felt conviction that if we can have a contact with Krishna, where we feel Krishna's presence in our life, that we will get the courage to say, Krishna, for so many long years and lifetimes, I have been separated from you, but now I surrender unto you. No? This process is... I've written about this for this newsletter called Amritavani, and I think you will like it very much. I want to teach you this evening how you can make a connection with Krishna. Not in an unauthorized way, but in a bona fide way. In this world, there are so many things which divert our attention from Krishna. There are jobs, there are many relationships to other people, family people. All of you who have children know how much time and attention that the child needs. All of you who are business people who go and work at programming computers, you know how much energy it takes, how much mental energy it takes. But you must know that all these relationships which we have, even relationships to near and dear ones, will one day disappear like smoke in the thin air. At that time, only this one relationship which we all have, this relationship to Krishna, will remain. But although we all theoretically know this, that the relationship for Krishna, to Krishna, is eternal, and the other relationships are not, We know while we are in this world, the other relationship demands so much energy, so much concentration, so that almost all of our time and energy is taken up by them. We know this. So, here is your meditation, which I would like to suggest for you. When you are undisturbed, for a little while, you can sit somewhere comfortably and imagine you are completely alone. Everything around you should slowly and gently slip away. Your relationship to what's going on in the life, your relationship even to the people which you know around who are in your life important, your relationship to jobs and important responsibilities, for a moment, just a moment, you will return. Let it all slip away. Then you imagine yourself being in a lonely place, like maybe in a forest, or alone in the midst of the ocean, or better even, in a place which I will tell you in a moment. But this should be a little bit almost like anesthesia. Have you ever experienced anesthesia? When you anesthesia, the nurse goes away, the sound goes away, and then you enter it, and even the person you think you are, all gone. So this is the meditation. It's called clearing your consciousness from material influences, from the Buddhas. You know, the Buddhas doesn't mean ghosts here, it means the material elements. And best is you see yourself in a holy place which is dear to you, like Vrindavan, on the bank of the Yamuna, or the bank of the river Ganga, a place where you can feel safe and perfectly protected. And then you, in your mind's eye, enter the presence of Radha and Krishna. You're only with them. Everything else gone. You are in the presence of Radha and Krishna. And you have the opportunity to now address them. You can pray to them. You can sing to them. You can even meditatively perform different types of devotional services for them. The idea of this meditation is simple. Switch off and switch on. Switch your material environment off. Switch your material responsibilities off. And switch on to the reality of being in contact with Krishna. You are all his part. You are all belonging to God only. You are like sparks in the fire. You are now leaving in your meditation the world around you, the world of matter, and you enter into the fire of Krishna's presence. That is what you do in that time. And then you can say something from the Sanat Kumar Samhita, which the wise people meditate. I surrender to you, Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Whatever is mine is in truth your property. Everything is for your sake. Everything is for your enjoyment. Nothing is meant for my enjoyment. Please say this. I surrender to you.
I surrender to you.
Sri Sri Radha Krishna.
Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Mm-hmm.
You can imagine yourself standing before the deities and saying this to them. Huh? Whatever is mine.
Whatever is mine.
is in truth your property.
Everything is for your sake.
Everything is for your enjoyment.
Nothing is meant for my enjoyment.
Yes. So if you do this, it said the wise people say this day and night, because day and night they want to be conscious of their relationship to Radha and Krishna. They want to be in that contact. They want that Maya, the illusory world, disappears like smoke, and that the real world, the eternal world, with Radha and Krishna, appears before them. This is how they live their life. Then in your mind you can pay your obeisances and take your leave from this picture. And after this you are able to re-enter your life in this world. You can take on your responsibilities, your social roles. You can be a good mother, a good father, a good friend, a good computer programmer, a good, what else? Wrestler. a good lecturer, a good guru, a good sannyasi, a good disciple. You can take on all these roles which you play. But now you will see, you will do it from another space, another energy. You will know, in truth, I'm only the servant of Radha and Krishna. And you will see how you bring total different, I would say it in a esoteric way and in a easy way. You will bring totally different vibrations in your life. Yes, by being in contact with Krishna, your energy level, spiritual energy level, has substantially changed. It's just like when you chant. Most of us, when we chant, don't think of Radha and Krishna, but of something or nothing. But if you think of the person whose name you chant, you will immediately feel how your chanting means you enter into a divine presence. And when you, and everyone can feel it, even the police. I remember yesterday there were some very wonderful kirtans which were done, and I went to the police and said, how did you feel with us? We are so colorful and so different, and we never are on time. That's the symptom of the Hare Krishna movement. We are difficult people. And we said, no, a little different, but so we like very much. And they were smiling, and please do this every day. Then we have some, their vibrations had been changed by the devotees they were in contact with, you know. I looked at one police car which had joined our procession. You know, they were really looking like tough German police. Then they opened the window a little bit. And I could see how the one person talked to the other person. And knowing the art of reading lips, I could understand always the same song. That's all what they know. And then the other person went like, zoop, and the window went up. And I look. And the other person is, put the window down again. And then one Mataji came. You know, our Matajis are sometimes beyond all rules and regulations of social conduct. They brought tea, flower, Jagannath. And
flower, Jagannath. This was a new concept. Totally new. Different from everything else ever experienced in the life of a policeman. You know. So, flower, Jagannath, well, they took it and they smelled it. And they looked, and really you could see that slowly a change in the consciousness came. And they looked, first they started to look like normal human beings. and then they looked friendly even, as much as possible, for a policeman, you know. These were people who had joined. These ones who were there from the beginning, they were in a different category. Their hearts were melted already. When the holy name entered the stadium of their awareness. Contact with Krishna. This is my point. Contact with Krishna, my dear devotees, changes our whole energy level, you could say. Spiritual life really means that you come out of the clutches of the material energy called Maya, and you enter the influence of the divine energy, Yoga Maya, which connects you with Krishna. This is the whole thing which must happen. And for this, you must, you don't have the spiritual energy in yourself, let me say, manifested. It's there in an unmanifested point. So you must come in contact with Krishna and have a good Krishna meditation while you do this. And for this, I suggest this this little meditation which you could obtain. If you wish to have a copy of this, you can give your email to our transcendental filming person, to Ranga Devi. This is Ranga Devi, who is the Steven Spielberg film person, and then you can obtain it by the email and send it around. This is very, very important for our spirituality. We need to get this fear or this hesitation which keeps us from being not surrendered, although we are already wanting to be to surrender. This will drive that vibration of fear out of ourselves and our lives, so that we can surrender to Krishna. Good. I want to end here. Thank you very much for listening to Lila Shuka and myself, and may your spiritual life be blessed. May you go forward after this wonderful day of Ratha Yatra, where a lot of mercy was available, not only for policemen and policewomen, but for the devotees. Yes, a lot of mercy was coming to all of us. And I think some of you are on their way to the German farm, where we will celebrate Nrisimha Chaturthi. Please come as soon as possible. I think our devotees from Munich are making plans already how to join us. Please all come. Braja Raj, Braja Jana Prabhu will sing the loudest from all of us. He has the loudest voice. Wonderful. Hare Krishna. How do you like this? Should we maybe make this meditation for 1 minute? Yeah. Yeah? Yeah? Would you like to do it? Yeah. How? Oh, yeah.
I think it's good because if we learn it. This is, you know, the traditional Buddha Shuddhi meditation goes like this. You become aware in your truest being that you are really the eternal servant of Radha and Krishna. It is only due to some misfortune that you have been absent from that relationship, and instead you have been wandering in the cycle of birth and death, where you have helplessly identified with one body after the other. And now your fortune has turned because you have met your spiritual master, or you have gotten some knowledge on the path, so that you can now again turn to Radha and Krishna in a mood of devotional service. So here we will start in a second. Please sit a little bit tall. Please look around. See the room around you, the people, the colors. Soon I will ask you to close your eyes. So just look. Those who have children, please take your child for a moment to the beautiful sun in the garden. When you're ready, close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths. Your goal is to be incredibly aware, concentrate on the inhaling air and the exhaling air. Breathe out very deeply, because then you will be able to inhale very deeply. All of us are busy, but for a moment, let us forget about our jobs. Our responsibilities. We are now sitting in the temple. Sitting in the temple of the Lord. Now think of Radha and Krishna. Some of you have seen photos of altars, paintings and books. Think of Radha and Krishna very softly in your mind, chant their divine mantra. I will say the mantra loud, and you can say the mantra inside in your mind, not loud. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One more time in your mind, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In your truest being, you are really the eternal servant of Radha and Krishna. Because of some misfortune, you have been absent from that relationship and instead have been wandering in the cycle of birth and death, helplessly identifying with one material body after another. Your fortune has turned now. You have finally met Srila Prabhupada and learned about your real identity as a pure spirit soul, a resident of the kingdom of love, completely separate from the gross and subtle body. By your Guru's grace, you have been inspired to take up the path of eternal loving service to their lordships, Radha and Krishna. Now speak with me these simple sentences from Shastra. I surrender to you, Shishi Radha Krishna, whatever is mine is in truth your property. Everything is for your sake. Everything is for your enjoyment. Nothing is meant for my enjoyment. Now in your mind, you can take your leave. You can open your eyes slowly. Same idea can be, of course, fulfilled in just praying, for instance, or you can do the same thing of entering into a divine presence by reading the Bhagavatam. It said that Radha and Krishna will appear on the lotus of the heart. The idea is a divine contact which you bring into your life. A little while ago I was in Sarajevo and I was a guest to a devotee, and the devotee had a discussion with theater people, actors, and didn't want to make the discussion in the apartment where I was invited as a guest. So the devotee went to another place, and when she came back, she said, "Oh, I smell, I must be smelling." I said, "I'm a sannyasi, you can't ask me this." They were smoking cigarettes like anything. I must be bringing this with me. And I was thinking very deeply. Devotees should also visit a devotional space in their life, a devotional mood in their lives. And when they visit it, they will bring that smell with them. You should smell like after Krishna. Or let us express it better, you should have a vibration, an energy vibration, which comes from your contact with Krishna through the holy names and so on. And it is this which you bring from that other place to this place, this world. Just like a person who visits, let us say, a bar, brings with him the smell of a bar. We should bring the smell of the spiritual kingdom of God with us, emissaries of the spiritual realm. And this all comes by higher contact. So I will end here my presentation. Thank you once again very much. All the best in your Krishna consciousness. And now we will have the Aratik ceremony. Is it?